I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. There really is nothing quite safe about the woods, no matter where you are in the world. And there is absolutely nothing safe about deer hunting in the Alabama forests, neither. If you have a scary story you would like to submit, email it to me at zachbabytv@gmail.com. Shout out to my channel members and my patrons, as you are what keep this channel alive. Now, scoot that lawn chair just a little bit closer to that fire. Toast up those beautiful buns of yours. And let's get spooky. As a southern bumpkin who had grown up in the deep woods, well, more specifically, the bumwhat middle-of-nowhere Alabama woods, I always get taken back to a very interesting chapter in my life. You see, as a kid, I had always marveled at how consistent yet inconsistent the forest was. The ground always had critters frantically scurrying around the seemingly still leaves. The river kept a constant flow sourced from the loud and chaotic falls we had some miles away. The trees would sway side to side during the stormy seasons yet stay rooted firmly on the ground. Their leaves would turn all sorts of colors only to disappear completely in the dead of winter. Yup, nothing was safe from change. Come to think of it, strange as it was, even the mannequins changed out there. Now folks, if you think that sentence seemed out of place in my story, imagine how it was for me seeing them for the first time. I remember first spotting them when I was around 6 years old. I barely reached up to my father's knees, but I had finally learned how to stop tripping over my 2 feet, and Pa thought it was safe enough to let me take a hike with him for the first time. As a girl, the wilderness fascinated and scared me, but I had never once assumed that I'd find mannequins in the forest. I could be out with Pa looking for frogs, or trying to find some kindling for our fireplace, and then surprise, a random mannequin not too far from the house would be there waiting for us. Honestly, I use the term mannequins freely, but originally, they were more like bodices, kind of like the ones Ma used to use to drape fabric over whenever she would make some new clothes. Dang kids and their pranks. Scowling Pa would grip the strap attached to his rifle and scooted me along in the opposite direction from where we came from. "Pay them no mind, Kit," he said. "Pappy's got a gun." I remember taking my Pa's hand and dwelling on the comment till we got home. I thought it was pretty silly that he wanted to shoot something found in Mama's old sewing room. Why didn't he just put them somewhere else? Or at least kick them down? They weren't menacing, but they sure did startle me sometimes. They always seemed to be everywhere in the woods, almost as if they were following us. Then again, thinking about it some more, it wasn't really a surprise. Lord knows I loved him, but my Pa was a really irresponsible guy. Being the only child Mama could give him before her death, God rest her soul, he was determined to raise me, right? He wanted me to be a gun-toting, rough-and-tumbly country kid who could hunt as well as pick a fight and win it. Admittedly, I had formed some complex because of it, always wondering if just maybe Pa would have been better off with a boy. Let's just say, I was desperate to gain his approval. At the ripe old age of 7, He puts a firearm in my hand.
You see this cricket? This is a Ruger, he'd beam.
Back then, that rifle had felt too heavy for my stringly bitty arms to hold. I could barely keep it on my lap.
This rifle has been in our family for a long time, kept a lot of us safe and fed, and when you're older, I'm going to teach you how to hunt with it.
Deer season is where we'll start. I furrowed my brow and looked around the cabin and rested my eyes on a mounted buck head above the fireplace.
I don't think I could do it, Pa. Sweet little deer?
They ain't little, Pa retorted. And they ain't sweet. You gotta learn how to defend yourself out there. Deer come in all shapes and sizes.
I realized then it was useless to protest. Pa had made up his mind, and even at 7, I knew that he was a stubborn man. There was no whining this battle, so at the time, I just nodded my head and sadly agreed. Eventually, when I turned 12, Pa deemed me ready. Mostly because, as a stocky kid, I could hold on to that rifle.
The excitement of my belly bubbling up as he led me out back and stood me in front of the shed made me giddy. He had never allowed me in there. When he flung open those doors, my eyes went as big as saucer plates. A deer right in the garage. It was still doe-eyed and staring right back at me. I walked up to it and Pa stopped me.
Hold your horses, Cricket. It's not real, Pa said. It's a decoy. It's a bit different from those you see in the store.
He walked up to the deer.
Those are plastic. Fake as they come. He slapped a hand along its back. This one here is stuffed with cotton. We call it taxidermy, he beamed. I'd like to think that deer is a little smarter than we give him credit for. I know most of them can spot those fake things a mile away. This here doe, well, it's never failed me before, and we're going to use it as bait for when we go hunting. We're going to teach you to shoot.
As soon as he said that, a familiar feeling of dread washed over me. I didn't want to kill anything, but I wasn't about to make Pa upset. The hunting grounds were beautiful. Pa found a bush to hide behind and a great clearing that he mentioned was known for buck sightings.
Just let me set this up, he said.
He set the fake doe on a sunny area of the clearing.
Gotta make sure the doe doesn't fall over if the buck, hugs him.
I rolled my eyes. He got out some ground anchors and rope and got to work rooting her firmly in the spot. After scattering some leaves to hide the materials, Dad smiled.
Perfect.
He looked back at me. Let's get to hunting. The first day of hunting was uneventful. The first round of bucks had mistakenly or rather correctly assumed that doe was a threat and went in for the attack, which wouldn't have been a problem had my hands not been so shaky. I couldn't exactly hit a moving target, much less an aggressive-looking one. Every time I'd reluctantly put my gun down, Pa would say,
"It's okay, we'll get 'em next time."
As the sun went down, every missed kill left me feeling disappointed. Pa was determined, though. No matter how tired he looked, he would repeat the same thing.
"It's okay, we'll get 'em next time,"
followed by a pat on the back. Failed shot after failed shot and shell after shell. There Pa would be, reassuring me that we would definitely get him next time. These ritualistic embarrassments would keep going on for about 3 weeks. Some days, we would have to start all over and move to a new spot because a mannequin appeared in our preferred clearing. Those were the worst. Pa would get angry and we'd have to lug that doe further away from where we had parked. All because of those stupid then-department store-looking mannequins. By the end of it all, what with the constant running and the failed hunting trips, I had only managed to scare away several animals and graze too many trees. I had just about had it. On the last day of the third week, I remembered walking back to the car, hanging my head and kicking the dirt beneath my feet. Pa patted my back.
"It's okay. We'll get 'em next time."
I could feel the blood boiling in my skin. "I'm tired of this, Pa," I said. "I'm just not a hunter."
Pa sighed. "Not yet, but you will be.
We will get him next...
Stop saying that. No, we won't, I screamed.
We won't ever get him because I can't use this thing to save my life. I held my Ruger out in front of me. My father's eyes scanned mine, his face stone cold.
Put that back on you. Don't ever take it off out here, do you understand? And don't keep saying you won't kill. You have to learn how to protect yourself.
I'm freaking 12, and you're forcing me to shoot animals, so I can learn how to use this thing?
I gripped the weapon hard.
Guess what? I don't want it.
I threw the gun towards my father. My dad, not expecting it, failed to angle himself, and Steele ended up clocking him square in the nose.
Damn it!
Blood started to trickle out from his nose where the gun had landed. It wasn't long before the yellow leaves at his feet started turning a crimson red.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, Pa.
The pain I felt grow on my cheek after Dad had slapped me wasn't as bad as the shame I felt from him saying,
Kit, it's time to grow the heck up. It's an eat-or-be-eaten world out there.
He shoved the gun onto my hands. I looked up at him.
Just because you couldn't stop Mom from dying doesn't mean I have to pay for it.
You know, if your Mama saw you now, I know she'd be a real letdown, he snapped.
With that remark being enough, I ran for the woods, anywhere away from him. I ran, and I ran, ignoring my dad's cries for me to come back. I don't know if Dad wanted to give me space, or if I managed to lose him. I don't even know if he followed me. I certainly could not hear him chasing me, though, through my running. I collapsed onto the dirt, wondering if he would leave me out there, wondering if maybe I deserved it. I wiped my tear-stained cheeks and sprawled out onto the ground. Looking up at the sky, I was sure Mama was let down by me, which only made me cry some more for a good while. After about 10 minutes of self-pity, I got that familiar feeling of nausea most kids get after not eating and running about a half a mile through the forest. I rubbed my belly. We hadn't eaten since this morning. I closed my eyes, thinking back. If I remembered correctly, I think we passed a berry bush on the way to the hunting grounds.
That's a mulberry bush, Kit, Dad had told me. If you ever get hungry, it's safe to enjoy them for a little snack. Just wash them first.
I looked around. The bush couldn't have been that far from where I was. Unfortunately, 15 minutes later of endless wandering and searching had me realized I was completely and utterly lost. Where was Dad? Had he really left me there? I started picking up my pace through the woods. I glanced down at my watch. 5 p.m. It was starting to get dark. I tried brushing away the fear by focusing on something else. I started looking at the clouds as I walked. Hopefully, I would make my way out of the thick wilderness and onto a campsite. Hopefully, there would be people there. Hopefully, there would be food. Was Daddy looking for me? He must be worried. I should apologize when I find him. I strained my eyes ahead of me, searching for a clearing. I gasped when I saw him. Out ahead, about 40 feet away from me, was a person. I ran towards them, waving my arms and screaming in the loudest voice I could muster.
Please wait! Please!
Desperately trying to get their attention. Thankfully, they seemed to be preoccupied with whatever they were looking at. When I was close enough, I struggled to catch my breath, gasping for air, and stumbled onto the ground.
I'm glad I caught you!
I gasped as I struggled to catch my breath, but looking up, to my dismay, was yet another mannequin. I felt my cheeks growing hot. I slammed my hands on the ground in frustration. Of course it was. It always is. I rolled my eyes and threw down my gun in disgust. How could I mistake a mannequin for a person? I lifted my head. The realization kicked in. I mistook a mannequin for a person. I had never done that before. I looked at it again. This was a really convincing one. They had never looked like this. They had never looked this real before. I tilted my head and observed it a little more closely. It was standing in some kind of awkward mid-motion gesture with its right hand raised up as if it was going to say hello, beaming this toothy, half-open smile. Honestly, this one had to be the best yet. The hair was so realistic, not like the horsehair you see some wigs made out of. It looked so fine and wispy. The teeth were naturally crooked and had a slightly yellow ting to them. The gums showed a glossy sheen. There were cracks on its lips and its tongue.
Even pores on its face were visible. It even had little veins on the sides of its nose. I examined his body. Strangely enough, though, the clothing he wore looked more like he was ready to go to some kind of restaurant than ruffling around in the woods. He looked like some kind of character. I laughed at the uncanniness of it all. Ironic that the fakest thing about the mannequin was its outfit. Well, that, and it also hadn't moved the entire time I stared at it. But still, it looked so human. What the heck is this? I stepped closer, slightly freaked out, and slightly wanting to get a feel of it. It couldn't be real.
No way.
I wasn't 5 feet away from the thing before I felt something tug me back. I turned around to see Pa's angry face.
What did I tell you about having your gun on you?
I felt the tears well up in my eyes.
Pappy!
Pa pointed to the muffs as he held the gun. Put them on! Put them on! Alarmed, I raised my muffs to my ears.
Bam!
Daddy fired 5 shots into the seemingly nowhere deep in the forest, with the last one blasting the mannequin.
What are you doing?
I cried. He grabbed my hand, and with a panic I had never seen in him before, threw both of our muffs onto the ground as we ran. I swiveled my head back to the mannequin. It miraculously hadn't fallen over by the blast. That half-open smile now gone, and its jaw had been blown clean off. Pieces of flesh were hanging on below its nose. It didn't look like a mannequin anymore. I could see white stuff was scattered all over the leaves at its feet. I saw more falling from the hole from its upper jaw. It took 12 minutes of non-stop running before Pa and I made it out of the woods and back into the truck. The entire time I saw Pa frantically looking back throughout our surroundings. He could barely get the key in the lock with how bad his hands were shaking. After he tossed me in the truck, he got in, slammed the door shut, started the engine, and pressed on the pedal with a frantic desperation, driving out of the forest and swerving around the mountains at a speed that terrified me.
Pa, please slow down. You're gonna kill us, I screamed.
Pa looked at me for a second. Didn't you hear it? The look on Pa's frantic, wild eyes chilled me to the core. I will never forget them. I sat there and tried to remember what I had. At the time, thought it was just my imagination as we ran by. Maybe my muffs hadn't been on right. When Pa fired his gun and my ears had played tricks on me. But after Pa had ripped off my muffs, when we were running away, I could have sworn that I heard someone say something deep in those bushes.
Don't worry. We'll get them next time.
Whoa, that was a pretty spooky tale. I know I'll never look at mannequins the same way again, especially out in the deep woods. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3, while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.